Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And you can send a one-time donation at support.greatdetectives.net or by using the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to go ahead and thank Doc. Doc had been supporting us at the detective sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month, but he has increased that to the master detective level of $15 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Doc. And now we're going to get into today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date on this one is June the 25th of 1950. And the title is Dilemma.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
All right, you two, you're blocking the tambourine door. What do you want that's here?
Like the Sphinx, Juba does not speak.
Then you tell her to move along. You're bad for business.
The streets are for those of Cairo. We stand here by our own right.
Not when you scare away the customers. Take her to the other side of the street. Now, go on.
Like the eternal Sphinx, Juba does not move.
Look, you're not just sightseeing. What brings you?
What we come for, we will have. When we are ready and when the time is right.
For the last time, get out of here before I use other ways. Put that knife back.
It is for you to see. Like the falcon, Juba does not hesitate to kill.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte. The best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story...
Dilemma.
The night was shaping up bad for business and good for trouble, thanks to a couple of burly white-robed natives planted right outside my tambourine door, feet wide apart, arms folded, waiting. For what, they wouldn't say, and I couldn't get rid of them. The nervous customers were soon gone, and no more came in. It was empty now, except for the blonde woman in a booth at the far side. American, well-dressed, mature, and attractive. With her was a little girl, 6 years or so, dark-haired and dark-eyed. They'd finished their meal long ago. And when they kept staying on, I decided to drop over. Everything all right here, lady?
Oh, yes, thank you. Quite all right.
Hello. My name's Mina.
Oh, mine's Rocky Jordan. How are you, Mina?
I'm fine, thank you. Mother's taking me back to New York. Aren't you, Mother?
Shh. Yes, darling.
When are we going?
I explained everything to you, Mina. Not until tomorrow.
Nursie said I would like Cairo. But I think I like New York better. Don't you, mister?
Well, I guess they both have their points.
You're American, aren't you?
That's right.
I see. Then maybe...
Nursie showed me the pyramids, Mother, and the Nile River. She told me all about Egypt and about Cleopatra. Do you know how Cleopatra got in to see Caesar?
Hush, darling, please. You mustn't talk so much.
In a rug.
Look, if those two natives out front concern you, I'll see that you get away safely.
Natives? Oh, I really hadn't noticed. Oh, no, I'm sure you don't have to bother.
Well, then maybe I can get you some more coffee.
Oh, yes, if you don't mind, a little... Mr. Jordan?
Yes?
I just remembered an errand. Would you mind watching Mina for a moment or two?
Mother, where are you going?
I'll be right back. And listen, stay right here. Stay here for Mother. Promise me.
I promise. But Mother...
Goodbye, Mina. Be a good girl, darling.
Oh, just a minute, lady. This is no place to leave a kid.
I'm sure she'll be all right with you. Thank you, Mr. Jordan.
Lady! She hurried to the door, made it out, and was gone. I didn't like it, but how do you stop somebody like that? After an hour's waiting, I'd begun to wish I had stopped her. Mina wasn't any trouble, sound asleep now in the booth where she'd been left. When another hour had gone by, I knew something was wrong. I told Chris, my bartender, to lock up. Then I carried Mina to the cot in my office, picked up the phone for a call to headquarters.
Rocky! Come out here, Rocky!
I had the door open and was out into the cafe when the movement from the side and behind was too quick.
Look out, Rocky!
A silken cord dropped tight around my neck.
Do not move, sir, and you are safe.
So now the two natives were inside, joined by a third who held Chris backed up to the bar at knife point.
Now, Juba, get the child and take her carefully away.
Keep away from her, Juba.
Silence! We do not wish to wake the child. Hurry, Juba, and carry her gently.
You know what this will get you?
Not what the meddling Americani thinks.
Where's the mother now? Who sent you?
Good, Juba. The child still sleeps. Go now and deliver her quickly. And you, Effendi, you will be wise to remain here in your tambourine and to forget.
He yanked the cord tightly for a second, then let go. And by the time I had my breath back, he and his knife boy were out and gone.
Rocky! They ran east up the hill!
I got to the sidewalk, but didn't follow their decoy. Far down the hill the other way, the figure of Juba passed under a dim streetlight and round the corner. That's the way I went. When I turned the corner, he was out of sight. A familiar newsboy pointed down the Sharia Lagoon, and I kept going till I spotted Juba again as he turned into the court of a white house near the Nile. I didn't let up till I was through the court and slamming at the door. I got a quick answer. All right, don't try the knife, Juba. I'm coming in.
Juba, who's there?
I saw him standing beneath an archway in the hall, a tall, gaunt man wearing a closely clipped black beard and the fez of the upper-class Egyptian. He motioned Juba to the side.
Why do you enter my house in this manner? Who are you?
Rocky Jordan, Cafe Tambourine. That answer everything?
So it is you, Mr. Jordan.
Now look, whoever you are.
I am Sakara Bey.
All right, Sakara Bey. A little girl was just grabbed from my cafe. By your orders, Juba was seen bringing her here.
And of what possible interest is this affair to you?
The mother entrusted Mina to my care. If that isn't enough, kidnapping is.
Kidnapping, Mr. Jordan. I believe that you know quite differently.
Ah, where's the girl? I'm taking her back to the cafe.
Enter no further into this house.
Sakara Bey.
Yes, Deborah. What is it?
I come to tell you that the child is well. She sleeps on her bed.
Do not leave her again. We will talk of this when El Hedron comes. Now return to the child.
As you command.
I think we'll all go.
Judah, hold him. Mr. Jordan, for the sake of the child, I have used every means of keeping this affair quiet.
Well, explain it then, Sakara Bey.
I see no reason to explain anything to you.
Yeah, we'll see what the police have to say.
I suggest then that you go to the police, and at once. Juba, show him out.
Well, Juba took that round, and trying to get in the house again wouldn't do me or the girl any good. Anyhow, now that I knew where Mina was, the rest was up to the police. I decided to stop by the tambourine with the one hope that her mother might have come back. Chris was still there waiting, and I got my surprise.
Mr. Jordan.
Where have you been?
Oh, that doesn't matter. Please tell me about Mina.
Chris told you what happened here?
Yes, he told me everything. Where is she, Mr. Jordan?
At the home of somebody named Sakara Bey. I wasn't fast enough to stop it.
Oh, so I've failed. So I've utterly failed.
Well, what do you mean? Do you realize I don't even know your name?
Oh, it's Clara Nagin.
Now, explain it, will you, Clara?
I can't tell you. I shouldn't have left her here. I know that now. It was only that you seemed like someone who might help.
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I could have done better.
Oh, no. I'm the one to be sorry. And I'm very grateful. I'll go now.
I'm going with you, Clara. We're taking this to the police.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, no. No, we can't do that.
Well, they'll get Mina for you. It's the only way.
Oh, you don't understand. Please, for Mina's sake and mine, don't mention this to anyone.
Look, Sakara Bey said it wasn't kidnapping. If he's right, just what was it?
I can't explain now. I don't want you drawn into this. Perhaps later. Later I can write and explain. Please leave the police out of it.
Clara, is Mina really your daughter?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, of course she is. Why would I come clear to Cairo to get her if she wasn't?
I wouldn't know.
A mother has a right to fight for a child. Any way that she can. Goodbye, Mr. Jordan.
She was gone, and it didn't make sense. But I couldn't do any more, not till I knew the reason why. I sent Chris home, locked up, and went on to bed. But was all bad dreams with a sleepy little brown-eyed girl caught up in something nobody'd explain. It was almost daylight when the phone opened up.
Yeah, hello.
Captain Savaya speaking, Jordan.
Oh, Sam, where are you?
I'm at headquarters. Jordan, is it true that you were at the home of Sakara Bay earlier tonight?
I was. Who told you?
And it is also true that you threatened him there?
Have your pad ready, Sam. I'll tell you everything. A woman named Clara Najim left her child at my cafe. While she was gone, a bunch of natives grabbed the kid. I followed to Sakara Bay's house. There you have it.
And why did you not inform me of this sooner?
Her mother didn't want it. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
Where is Mrs. Najim now?
I don't know, Sam. She wouldn't tell me anything.
That is not surprising. Jordan, I think it best that you come to headquarters at once.
Why? You've got it all.
Perhaps there's more to it that you do not know, Jordan. Sakara Bay lies in his house shot dead. And the child is gone.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Ask me to name the vegetable most likely to succeed with the men, and I'll say it's sweet, tender, buttery-tasting corn. And I'm sure every woman who has ever served Del Monte Golden Whole Kernel Corn will second that nomination, too.
No doubt about that, Larry. You really can tell the difference between brands of corn. And Del Monte is the sweetest and tenderest we've ever run across.
Everyone should make that comparison and see what happens when corn is specially raised for higher natural sugar content, the way Del Monte corn is. Talk about your country cream sweetness. And Del Monte keeps a careful eye on rich, hearty flavor. Makes a point of very thin-skinned kernels, besides, for melting tenderness. All that means Del Monte corn is remarkably good. Wonderful to eat just plain, and a pleasure to use in your favorite corn recipes, too.
Well, Del Monte corn is certainly the quickest, easiest way I know to enjoy real summer corn flavor.
And it's thrifty, too, friends. A fine value. Next time, ask your grocer for Del Monte vacuum-packed golden whole kernel corn.
Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Dilemma.
I could have guessed it wasn't over for me when I saw Clara Najim last. And now I had some more to mull over as I drove to headquarters at Sam Savaya's orders. Sakara Bay murdered, and the child that Clara had said she'd fight for, gone. Now, Sam was waiting for me in his office, and we went all over it again.
Now, Jordan, when Mrs. Najim finally returned to your cafe, what did she tell you then?
Only that she wanted the police left out of it.
Very well. But it stands to reason that when she is found, the child will be with her.
Hey, look, you're not saying Clara did the killing.
Can you suggest anyone else who might want the child, Jordan?
Tell me something, Sam. What's this all about?
Will you come in, please? Jordan, this is El Hedron, an attorney of Cairo.
A pleasure, Mr. Jordan.
Hi, El Hedron.
Kindly tell Mr. Jordan the background of this case. I must go now to personally direct the search.
Well, El Hedron, how does it go?
You do not already know, Mr. Jordan?
No.
Very well. Some years ago, a citizen of Egypt, Ahmed Najim, went to the United States in the diplomatic service. While there, he met and married a beautiful, wealthy woman of your country. Now, Mrs. Clara Najim.
Well, that explains the dark-eyed girl. Mina is Clara's daughter, then.
She is. All went well with the union until a few months ago, when evidence came to Mr. Najim's attention that his wife had been unfaithful. That is a serious thing for one of our people.
Well, where isn't it? Go on.
So, a few weeks ago, the marriage broke up, and then began the fight over their child, Mina. Mr. Najim was convinced by the evidence that Clara was no fit mother for the child, but she denied the testimony and demanded custody of the child, and it looked as though she was going to get it.
Najim was sure about his wife?
The testimony was beyond question. So in face of a court injunction forbidding him to touch the child, he spirited Mina out of Egypt and into Egypt out of America, placing her now in the custody of his uncle, Sakara Bey.
And then Clara came to get her daughter.
Yes. Somehow she got the girl from Sakara Bey's house. But he learned soon enough, and his servants trailed her to your cafe. He should have left it to the police.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it, El Hedren. Hasn't Clara a perfect right to her own child?
Not so, Mr. Jordan. Technically, the child is a citizen of both countries, born in America, but the daughter of an Egyptian citizen. While in Egypt, she is under the protection of our law.
Ah, so that's it.
It is a most delicate problem for the diplomatic officers of both countries. Truly a dilemma. How would you solve it, Mr. Jordan?
I wouldn't know.
So you see, if kidnapping is involved, only the mother is guilty of taking her own child.
Where's the father now?
He returned to his work in New York and was immediately arrested for his violation of your law.
You're sure he's there now?
Certainly. So Clara Nagin has taken the last recourse, murder. She is stupid to think that she can get the child out of Egypt now.
Just how do you fit in, El Hedren?
I represent Mr. Nagin as attorney in behalf of his daughter. Now, is there anything you wish to tell me?
Yes, what do you mean by that?
It is only that you are American, like Mrs. Nagin. Captain Sabaya agrees that such a situation might offer temptations.
Well, he's wrong. I don't know anything more.
Then let me advise you to free yourself now, before you become too deeply involved.
Well, that was a new one. A strange diplomatic tangle, and now murder, with an innocent child squarely in the middle. I left headquarters thinking about El Hedren's story. I found myself wandering back to Sakara Bey's White House by the Nile. I watched from across the street as the mourners went in, till I noticed a figure moving from the side of the house. Child's nurse, Deborah, who turned quickly onto a narrow side street, keeping close to the walls. I decided on a word with her and caught up with her a block further on. Deborah, wait a minute.
Who called? Oh, your friend, Jordan. Please, I must go.
I want you to tell me what went on in that house last night.
Captain Sabaya can tell you.
I want it from you. Just what happened?
I was with a child, Mina, at Sakara Bey's command. Late in the night, I was awakened by a shot. I ran to Sakara Bey's study. He was on the floor, dying.
Did you see anybody there? Clara and Najim, maybe?
Someone was leaving. I was afraid and did not follow.
Did you see her?
No, I knew it was best to return to the child.
What then?
When I got back to the room, Mina was gone. I do not know how or where.
Now, something else, Deborah. What are you running from?
I only wish to leave the house of death. Please, Effendi, I want nothing of murder.
Deborah, get back. I shoved her to the wall. The bullet ricocheted and sandstone sprayed into my eyes. I couldn't see a thing. All I could hear were Deborah's running footsteps. By the time I could clear my sight, Deborah was gone. Whether the shot had been for her or me, I wasn't sure, but I knew one thing. I'd been way too close to the answer. And if I wanted that close again, I'd have to find Clara Nagin. I remembered her promise to Mina that they'd leave for New York that morning. By air, probably. So I made it to the airport in time for the New York plane scheduled to leave at 9:30, but Clara didn't show up. On a hunch, I tried the Central Cairo Railroad Station, just in time to see a woman, heavily veiled, stop at the ticket window. And as she hurried to the departure gate, I was there waiting. Clara.
What? Mr. Jordan.
Look, I've got to talk to you.
I'm sorry, the train's about to leave.
Listen, I know everything about your daughter and why you came after her. The police are looking for you, Clara.
I know that. To keep me from my own child. Well, I'm going away. What else can I do now?
Wait a minute. Where have you been all this time?
Not where anyone could find me. When I got to the airport, I saw the police waiting, so I came here. If I can get to Alexandria, perhaps...
What about Mina? Where is she?
Where you said she was. With Sakara Bey.
Oh, not anymore, Clara. Are you trying to tell me you don't know what's happened?
Happened? What, Mr. Jordan?
Sakara Bay's dead. Murdered.
Oh.
And Mina's disappeared.
Oh, no.
You're sure you don't know where she is?
Oh, of course I don't. How could I?
And you weren't at Sakara Bay's house after you left the tambourine?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Rocky, please, what does it mean?
I've got to know one thing, Clara. How did you get Mina away from his house to begin with?
If I tell you, will you promise to help?
Oh, that's more like it. Come on, we'll talk in my car.
A moment, Mrs. Najim.
Sam, did you follow me here?
I hardly needed to do that. Mrs. Najim, I must place you under arrest for taking your daughter illegally and on suspicion of murder.
Captain, my child...
Clara didn't do the killing, Sam. She doesn't even know what happened to me.
I will take her statement, Jordan. Do not try to interfere. Now, Mrs. Najim, come with me.
Sam took her away, and the last I saw was Clara's white face looking back. And I knew she expected me to do something.
But what?
Find the nurse, hiding, or held somewhere in Cairo? That wouldn't be easy. I drove back to the tambourine, trying to figure where Mina could be, and got nothing. I parked my car in back and went in the office door.
Rocky?
Chris, what are you doing on the floor?
Rocky, you just missed it.
Missed what, Chris? You all right?
Yeah, I guess so. I made the mistake of leaving the back door unlocked. A bunch of natives came in again.
They just left?
Yeah. Last I knew, they were slamming up around your room. Must have left for the roof.
Come on, let's have a look.
Yeah, that's what they did. The roof window's wide open.
They didn't miss a trick, did they?
Even rolled up the rug. I wonder what they brought they found in there.
Hey, wait a minute. Help me unroll that rug.
Hey, but Rocky, what is...
Mina!
Hello, Mr. Jordan.
How did you get up here, Mina?
I sneaked in the back door. But when I heard those men coming, I ran upstairs and rolled up in the rug. Just like Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah, you were going to tell me all about her.
Nursey told me. Did you know that Cleopatra hid in a rug once when she wanted to get in to see Caesar?
She was up here all the time, Rocky.
You're a brave girl, Mina. Now tell me, weren't you at Sakara Bay's house?
Yes. A loud noise woke me up last night. Nursey wasn't there and I was scared. So I put on my dress and sneaked out the window. Mother told me to wait for her here.
Oh, sure she did. But where have you been all this time?
Well, I guess I got kind of lost. But then somebody showed me where the Cafe Tambourine was.
Mina, how long has Deborah been your nurse?
Always, I guess. She came back to Egypt with Daddy and me.
Did she like your mother?
Well, not very much. But when Mother came to get me...
Go on, Mina. Deborah helped your mother get you out of Sakara Bay's house that first time, didn't she? Why?
I'm not supposed to tell.
Oh, but it's all right now. Did your mother give Deborah something?
Yes. Where is Mother? Isn't she coming back?
I think maybe she is, Mina. Very soon. Get her something to eat, huh, Chris? Then have her sleep.
Sure, Rock. Are you going out again?
Yeah. And for the first time, I know where. I made sure the back door was locked this time and then spun my car out onto the Cairo streets. Things had suddenly started dropping into place. A lot of things. If I was right, it wouldn't be long till I had all the answers. And the killer of Sakara Bay.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. Now here is Larry Thor.
Ladies, I wish you'd set the date right now. I wish you'd make tomorrow the day you're going to try that wonderful style of Del Monte pineapple called Del Monte Pineapple Chunks. These fine big wedges of golden juicy pineapple are just about the grandest eating that ever came your way. And now that you can buy them all over the West, there's no need to wait another day to enjoy them. They're tender, generous pieces of fruit, about 1 inch wide and 1 inch long. They're cut from double thick slices of magnificent pineapple, the closest thing you've ever had to eating pineapple right on the plantation, or I miss my guess. What's more, Chunks are convenience itself, ready to toss right from the can into a salad, to top off a cake, to make the best-looking gelatins ever. And for pure and simple enjoyment, well, serve Chunks just as they come, cool and refreshing, with the full, ripe, tart, sweet flavor you find in all five styles of Del Monte pineapple. Remember, I'm talking about Chunks. Del Monte pineapple Chunks. They're so delicious, so different. Ask your grocer tomorrow.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story. We'll be right back.
Clara Najim could wait a little longer for news that her daughter was safe and well at my cafe. But before there was any happiness for either of them, there was more to be done. The diplomatic tangle settled and Clara cleared of the murder charge. It took some hunting, but I finally wound up in the outskirts of town in the front room of the home of El Hedren, Cairo attorney.
Mr. Jordan, I know Mrs. Najim has been arrested, but there's nothing you can do about it now.
Oh, but I had a long talk with Clara at the railroad station.
Well?
She wants me to tell you she's willing to pay again. Anything you ask.
Pay again?
Yeah. It can still work out. It was Deborah, the nurse, who testified about Clara's unfaithfulness to her husband, wasn't it? Pack of lies, only to get Ahmed Najim to bring the girl back to Egypt. Was that on your counsel?
I advised such a move, of course I did.
Only somebody who knew the law could have engineered it. You knew Clara would come after the child. She's wealthy, she could pay whatever you wanted. And it was Deborah's job to turn the child over to her. How else could Clara have gotten Mina out of the Bay's house?
Mr. Jordan, has Mrs. Najim told such a tale to the police?
What, and ruin her last chance to get her daughter away? Oh, no. Well, come on, El Hedren. How much this time? 20,000, 30,000?
What do you think I could do with Mrs. Najim held for murder?
You hold the strings. Just get Mina out of Egypt and back to America. Anyhow, the murder charge won't stick against Clara. She didn't go back to the Bay's house last night.
You seem very sure.
But somebody else was there. Sakara Bay dropped the fact that you were coming. Sounded like he was going to have it out with you and Deborah. He must have had an idea what was going on. Maybe Deborah said too much, eh?
Mr. Jordan.
So you had to kill him. And when Deborah got frantic and tried to run out, you tried for her, too. And she said she didn't want any part of murder.
My friend, I don't think you know anything. I don't think you ever will.
And by the way, where is Deborah? I suppose we have a look.
I advise you, sir.
How about the study, then?
Effendi, no.
I thought so. It's caught up with you, huh, Deborah?
Very well, Mr. Jordan. You realize that I now hold a gun. Come out, Deborah. Now that he has seen you.
As you command.
Deborah, will you tell the police what really happened at Sakara Bey's house? Will you tell Ahmed Najim the truth about his wife? That all you said were lies?
Effendi, it is not possible.
Enough, Deborah. Neither you nor Mr. Jordan will tell anyone anything.
I was faced with El Hedren's gun again, and this time I knew he wouldn't miss. He raised it and took careful aim. The phone held his fire, and he hesitated just long enough. I dived in under the gun. I hit him below the ribs, and he went down flat and hard. I slammed his head against the hard floor, and the gun clattered away. He didn't have any use for it now, but I did. Yes, hello.
Captain Sabaya speaking. Who is this?
Rocky, Sam.
Jordan, what are you doing there? I'm calling for El Hedren.
Well, just hold everything. You'll be right down.
Well, Jordan, the nurse Deborah has left nothing more to be told.
I knew she would. And thanks, Sam.
For what, Jordan?
For calling El Hedren when you did. Saved my life.
As it happens, I wanted to question him. Mrs. Najim had also told me of his part in this affair.
So what's with Clara now?
Now that the facts are known, I do not think it likely that she will be held. The consuls of both our countries will be most happy to be done with it.
Yeah, they can drop their hot potato. Get word to her husband, will you?
A wire is already on its way to New York. I have no doubt that Ahmed Najim will soon be reunited with his wife and brown-eyed daughter.
So Mina finally gets her wish to go back to New York.
Jordan, does not this thought of domestic tranquility affect you? Among my people, a man without a wife is considered...
Oh, no. Don't start that again, Sam. Come on, where's the coffee?
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods.
Rocky Jordan, written tonight by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya. Original music is composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Rocky Jordan is produced and directed by Cliff Howell. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, same time, same station. And the story is The Dead Colleen.
Tomorrow, why not make dessert easy, thrifty, and popular with everybody? Make it Del Monte Peach Halves, mellow, tender, and juicy, rich in summer orchard flavor. That's Del Monte, the best-liked brand of peaches in the whole wide world.
Bob Stevenson speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Our commentary today is brought to you by StoryHack.com. StoryHack is a pulp-inspired short fiction magazine featuring action and adventure stories in a wide variety of genres. You're listening to the great detectives of old-time radio. Welcome back. Well, that was kind of a weird part at the end because I honestly don't recall a conversation about Rocky needing to find a wife at all. I mean, might have happened once, but the way that Rocky talked about it, it's something that Sabaya talks about all the time. Though, then again, perhaps with Rocky, maybe once is too often to discuss it. Of course, Rocky can never get married, just because that would complicate the lives of all of the ladies in distress that stumble into the Cafe Tambourine on a regular basis. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now, and we have an email here from Tim. He writes, I enjoyed this episode of Rocky Jordan. I enjoy most Rocky Jordan episodes. This is regarding the Pharaoh's formula. The actor playing Willard Youngstone sounded very familiar to me. I suspected it was Willard Waterman. My suspicion was solidified when Helen Gaines was talking to Rocky about him and began calling him Willard W., but then caught herself and said, Gaines, do you think it was Waterman? Well, I actually do. Lawrence, who commented on Facebook, also noticed this, and it did sound to me like Willard Waterman. Willard Waterman was actually the second great Gildersleeve. Harold Perry originated the role on Fibber McGee and Molly and starred in the first, I believe it was about 9 years of the radio series. And then he left to go and do his own series for CBS, The Harold Perry Show, which turned out to be a big mistake. But it sounded like Waterman to me. And this is, I think, would be like the third episode he was in. It was mentioned when he was in some Let George Do It episodes a few months back. And he really was much more of a character actor, just playing a wide variety of different character roles until he took over as the great Gildersleeve. And that became the thing that he was really remembered for. Then we have an email from Christy, who writes, regarding episode 2855, Paid in Full. I know I'm super behind on the shows, but I absolutely had to give a comment about this. In my opinion, Sam must have a soft spot for Greco that we just do not understand, because I don't think he's a good cop. When someone has been constantly proven correct, someone is readily expected by your boss and a man you respect, you don't keep trying to prove they are evil incarnate. Part of being a police officer is learning that you're not always right and learning about the people you're trying to protect. You can't do that if you have blinders on, and no matter what happens, one man is always to blame for everything, especially in that last scene where Jordan was not gloating and didn't even get a chance to speak before he was insulted and threatened. Maybe the timing was bad, but that sort of attitude just doesn't work for me, and it's in that moment that I don't think he'll ever get better. And I'm not sure I care about him that much. You can't humanize him enough to stop the years of abuse for somebody. Well, thanks so much, Christy. And I definitely appreciate where you're coming from. And I'm kind of suspect that he was probably not a character they wanted to have on. It's worth noting, since that episode played, we played that back in June, so it's been about 4 months, and I think Greco has been in maybe one or two episodes since then. Now, there is a lot of reasons why Greco may not have been in there, including actor availability, but it also might have been a decision of the network, because they were trying to cultivate, I think, a certain attitude towards police. And Greco, I think, undermined that, even though Greco was a policeman in a foreign country. But at any rate, thanks so much for the email. All right, well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Gary. Gary has been one of our Patreon supporters since August 2016, currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Gary. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. And then next Monday, we begin our revisit of Box 13. And next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.